Thank you, musician, to helping us sing. And that was wonderful. When you're in front, you can hear it, how beautiful it sounds. And I'm sure that as we go through the service today, we will be blessed. And before we go any further, I ask you to please bow our heads for the short prayer. Our Father, which are in heaven, in Jesus' wonderful name, we come before thy throne of grace to ask for the mighty Holy Spirit to pour upon this congregation. Father, open our spiritual eyes and the minds that we might see Jesus and understand this beautiful truth and apply in our daily life and live to your glory and be blessings to others. And please, Lord, use me mightily as the humble tools in your hands, because we ask and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The service which I entitled today, by the grace of God, called Come Out of Her, My People. And Brother Clive already told you the children's story which were leading into the service. And the scripture reading, I ask you to please take your Bibles and open to Revelation chapter 18. Majority of our service will spend in Revelation. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4. We read like this. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. Come out of her, my people. This is a wonderful call from God himself. May the Lord add rich blessing into the scripture reading. You know, I found in the beautiful book, my favorite author, in Testimony volume chapter 9 and verse 11 and page 11 said like this. We are living in the time of the end. The fast fulfilling signs of the time declaring that coming of Christ is near at hand. The Spirit of our God is gradually but surely being withdrawn from the earth. The great changes are soon to take place in our world, and the final movements will be rapid ones. Brothers and sisters, we are living in the most critical hour in history. Everyone's destiny is about to be decided for eternity. It is life or death. It is life or death for the earth inhabitants. And no one is exempt. All of us who are here, no one is exempt. It is the final showdown between light and darkness. And you and I, we must choose side. We cannot sit on the fence. Choice is ahead of us. The question in this hour of decision is, my brother, my sister, is where will you stand? Are you taking the God's warning seriously? What is lie ahead? My friend, this world never seen the things which is coming upon this world. Who would ever thought in such a short space of the time, the whole world was locked down? end of 2019, Australia was facing the drought and the fires, which they never ever experienced in their Australian history. Beginning of this 2020, another disaster came, not only on Australia, but for the whole world. COVID-19, coronavirus. In such a short space, the whole world was locked down. And there are predictions. The second wave is coming, which it will be much more disastrous than the first one. In America alone, over 165,000 people died. No wonder, brothers and sisters, that God used this messenger and share with us this beautiful testimony. We are living, my friend, in dangerous time. You know, even the United Nations, the European Commission and disaster managers worldwide have a global disaster alert and coordination system. For what? To prevent the collapse in the time of crisis. Crises are coming upon this world, whether we like it or no, my friend. God also has a global warning system. It is the message. It is the messages of the three angels. It is God's SOS, final call, shout for every race, every class, every society, every group, exposing the judgment and the destiny of the humanity. Three angel message. My favorite author says, should be preached loud and clear in the time which you and I are living. The second angel message, which I, by the grace of God, would like to spend much of my time. Second angel message begins the fall of Babylon. You can read this one in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 8, which is on the screen. The Bible says, and then follow another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, the great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Babylon is fallen, my friend. This is a symbolic message, since literal Babylon has already fallen. The Babylon spoken of here, my friend, is a coalition of powers that will unite it in the final confrontation against the truth of the God. Babylon is fallen. This is a symbolic message, remember. The Babylon spoken is here, as I said, is coalition of the powers which will unite it with Babylon. Since Rome is the fourth beast and the final world power of Daniel chapter 7, and is prophesied to have a part in affairs in the last days, Rome will fulfill its part in this marshaling its final coalition to a final warfare. As you consult, brothers and sisters, the formation of political and religious movements in the last days, it is just impossible to exclude the religious power of Rome from the end time scenario. In the account of literal Babylon, you know, we also will see the symbolic parallels and understand the greater details why the message is announced as Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Because, as I said, Babylon is already fallen in the eyes of God. But it will soon be fallen in the eyes of men. When the coalition of Babylon leads all nations to adopt agenda, then the second falling of this message reaches its grand fulfillment. You don't have to be rocket science. You just open your eyes and see how these political and religious powers are growing side by side. When this coalition Babylon leads to all nations to adopt their agenda, my friends, we are living in the last days of this world's history. Babylon was first introduced through the post-diluvian generation. As you may recall, the antediluvian generation existed before the flood. The Tower of Babel is a post-flood representation of the continued rebellion against God. Following the flood, God says that he would never, ever again destroy this world by flood. He gave promise, and we still got this promise in the heaven. That death and those who distrust him built something which was against God's command. The people did not believe in God, that God will never destroy this world by flood. My brother, my sister, are we different? When you go and I mix with the people and talk about the end of the world and second coming of Christ, they're laughing at you. They said, you're crazy. What's wrong with you? Are we learning the lesson from the previous nations? Not at all. And those that distrust God build their own method of salvation. The Tower of Babel represents salvation by works and not salvation by faith in God's promise. If this post-diluvian generation, my brother, my sister, believe God's promise to preserve the world from the future flood, they would not build the Tower of Babel. On the contrary, you know what did I said? You can read in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. That says, come, open your Bible and read it with me. Come, let us build a city for ourselves, a tower whose top is in the heaven. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. They didn't believe God. They did not choose to follow God's pattern. They didn't choose to identify with the true God, so they made a name for themselves. Another pictures, my friend, of Babylon that can be traced back to the Tower of Babel is the confusion of tongues or the confusion of languages. The Bible reminds us of that event. In the Genesis chapter 11, verse 9, it tells us, therefore its name is called Babel, because that the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scatters them abroad over the face of all the earth. Probably if they wouldn't been against the God, we probably would have still one language. Wouldn't it be nice? Wherever you go, you could speak the same language. But look what the people have done when you distrusting the God and rejecting his voice. Today, my friend, today, many Christians are participating in this disturbing component of Babylon. They are participating in confusion of tongues through the improper use of tongues, as described in the Bible. My brother, my sister, the only purpose for the use of the tongues, or as described in the Acts chapter 2, was to communicate the gospel to people of other nations and languages. They did not understand the tongue of Galileans. You can read this one in Acts chapter 2. And we will discover, my friend, that the people that gather in Jerusalem in the day of Pentecost, miracles happen. They heard the Galileans' disciples speaking in the language of the countries they represent. In the multitude of worshippers, they come to observe this Pentecost. They understood their language. Just imagine, my brother, my sister, if I would start speaking to you in Polish, how much would you benefit? You probably would leave this place because you would waste your time. The languages was given for the specific reason and purpose to spread the gospel to all the kingdom, tongue, and nations. You can read this one in Acts chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. You can know for certain, my friends, that God does not bless any practice that resembles the confusion of languages that occur at the Tower of Babel. To prove it, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33. Listen what the Bible says. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as it is all the churches of the saints. God is not God of the confusion. He's God of order. We just read this one. And you see, my friend, this what Satan using today very, very powerfully. The great city, Babylon, another features connected to this second message is the greatness of the city. It's a greatness, and this second message, especially to this Babylon, one of the greatest cities from antiquity to present, was the kingdom of literal Babylon. It was mighty. You got the seven wonders, you know, one of the seven wonders in the world is the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. The Babylon Bible representing as the gold. And listen what the prophet Jeremiah tells us about the city. Babylon has been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunk it of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Can you reason with drunken men? You can, don't you? This Babylon is drunken with the false doctrine, which preaching against the scripture and fill the whole world. My friend, the same is true about this mystical Babylon as described in the Revelation. This beautiful city Babylon, which already passed in the history, God representing in this parallel in Revelation. Revelation chapter 17, verse 4. Both are described having a golden features. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 17, my friend. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 4 and 5. Listen what the Bible says. In the woman was arrayed in the purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup. Remember this, what we just read in Jeremiah? They had a golden cup, having in hand golden cup, full of abomination and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlot, and of the abomination of the earth. Under this mystical Babylon, my friend, the leaders of the world and the earth inhabitants will experience the same effect when they ingest her false teaching. Whatever is contrary to the Bible, my friend, that what is mother of harlot, poisoning the whole nations. The Bible tells us that the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. You can check it in Revelation chapter 17, verse 2. The woman here, my friend, described is dressed in a way, unless understood, one would miss the hidden message communicated by her garment. Mother of harlot has on, what was it? Gold, purple, and scarlet. The point is, my friend, not just the colors, but more specifically, what color was missing from her garment. This is a powerful point, my friend. We should never forget. Listen what Bible says, what God specifically says about one color with the scarlet woman didn't have. Exodus chapter 39, verse 8 says, and he made the breastplates of cunning work, like the work of the effort, of the gold, the same as the harlot, blue, that's the missing color, and purple and scarlet. So gold, purple, and scarlet was on this harlot, but blue is missing, and fine twined linen. When my friend God gave instruction to build the temple, the garments for the priest is specified in the colors, which we just read. Gold, blue, purple, scarlet. The woman of Babylon, my friends, has gold, purple, and scarlet in her garment, but she does not have blue. Why? What is the reason? What is this blue color? The color blue, my friend, is missing, intentionally omitted. Why? Because blue is the color that associated with the God's law. Notice what the God says in Numbers chapter 15, 37 to 40. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and by them that they make them fringes in the borders of the garments throughout their generations. And there they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of what? Of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the what? Commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you used to go and worrying, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. Now, my friend, you might probably understand why this blue color is deliberately omitted in this mother of harlot. She got all colors, but she haven't got blue, because you know the Ten Commandments by majority of the Christians is done away. By honoring, my friends, the commandments of God, one will not yield to the harlot. That Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If we keep God's commandments, love him, we will not yield to the harlot. And by ignoring God's commandments, one will become a victim of this harlot. The mystical purpose of Babylon is to lure the God's people, my friend, away from the God's commandments. Today, everything goes. Just love, that's all. Doesn't matter who you are. Love God and everything is fine. After you die, we all go to heaven. The mystical purpose of Babylon is to lure God's people, forget the Ten Commandments. Babylon has excluded the commandments of God because, you know why? Her leader, who is her leader? Satan himself hides those who keep the God's commandments. He's the one who wants to get rid of the Ten Commandments. The Bible very clear says in Revelation chapter, 12:9, the Satan, the dragon, this horrible creatures, he's the one who is behind all those system which uniting the world under one banner. The Babylon described, my friend, in Revelation chapter 17 and 19 as a city of great wealth, an abounded possession. The symbols describe her influence over the whole world. You know very well how this one leader from Rome went to America, and the first time in the world's history, he addressed the joint Democrats and Republicans and had a mind speech for them. Never ever in the history. We can see that he's getting more and more power and they're growing, and the one of the president that says, this is the man who can lead this world. That's exactly what the Bible is teaching, my friend. The Hebrews associated the Babylon with confusion, but Babylonian referred to the city as the gates of the gods. Babylon had many gods, and Christians taking those gods and preaching and teaching. Mystical Babylon, my friend, is the gates of the false gods. That is why in the narrative of Daniel, the Hebrew captives determined not to serve the other gods, the Babylonian gods. The book of Daniel, my friend, reveals the reaction of the true worshipers when false worship being urged upon them. They stood up. They would not bow down and worship the idols. The image of Babylon, my friend, is a reflection of the practice and conviction of Babylon. I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm just saying everything, what is the scripture and what the history and the news, and my eyes and ears and open and watch and listen. In the not too far distant future. Let me repeat. In the not too distant future, when this mystical Babylon appeals to the powers of earth and set up a false system of worship, the true people of God, my friend, will respond in similar manner. They will choose not to worship the gods of Babylon. As literal Babylon erect a golden image of worship. My brothers, my sisters, this image is start beginning to erect. When the beast number two will give the all authority and power to beast number one, God's people will face incredible choice whom you want to serve. So also this mystical Babylon will establish a symbolic image of worship. She will then appear, my friend, she will appeal to the religious and civil authority to create an allegiance with the image. America was raised on the freedom. And in Constitution, there says, the religion and state stay apart. Today, slowly but surely, joining together. When this religious and civil authority will join together, they will create allegiance and will set up the image. And that's why the Bible says, all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. This mystical Babylon, my friends, focus is the world. They don't worry about the one country. They want the whole world. Remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan and he said, I know why you come here. You want to win this world back again from me. But I tell you what, I make the deal with you. I will give you everything. Why go to the cross? Just do one thing. Bow down and worship me. That's what it's all about. Bow down and worship me. The second angel's message is the warning to the world. When God's law, my friends, is universally substituted by man's law, all nations will have drunk of the wine of the wrath of Babylon's unfaithfulness. Shortly before the universal apostasy from truth, God will call his people out of Babylon. That's why I call the service, "Come out of her, my people." Unlike the first and third angel's messages, the second angel message of the fall of Babylon is not proclaimed with a loud voice. It's a very interesting. If you read in Revelation chapter 14, verse 9, they said there was another angel and come and said, "Babylon, Babylon is fallen." Until it reappears again in Revelation chapter 18 and verse 1 to 3. Listen to this one. Open your Bibles. Revelation 18, verse 1 to 3. After these things, Revelation chapter 18, verse 1 to 3. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily. Did you hear this one? And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, "Babylon, the great, is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations," did you get it? "For all the nations were drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury." How many will be involved? Whole world, my brother, my sister. Don't think for one minute that Australia will go and be spared. Don't think for one minute. Because the Bible says, and when Bible says so, it will come to pass. When the earth is illuminated, my friend, with the glory of God, there will be a clear distinction between truth and error once and for all. You cannot sit on fence. There's going to be only two groups of people. And the complete nature of mystical Babylon, my friends, will be revealed to humanity. It is at that moment, final revelation, that the people of God held captive by mystical Babylon will heed this call of mercy from God. Revelation 18:4. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, 'Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of the sin, and that ye receive not of her plagues.'" My brother, my sister, this is last final mercy call from God himself. Come out of her, my people. God has many people in the other different denomination in churches. Don't think for one minute that we are only the one. God has many people. You know what frightens me? When I read my favorite author, Mrs. White, she said in the final stages, many, many Seventh-day Adventists will leave the churches and will be replies from outsiders. Brother and sister, hold fast to this beautiful truth. Don't let the devil rob you. The place is prepared for you in heaven. Be faithful to him. The call to come out of the Babylon is recognized that Jesus has followers in every church. And he is not content to leave them where his commandments are not observed. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 16, very interesting words. Listen to this one. Turn with me. Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 16. That's Jesus' words. Gospel of John, chapter 10, and verse 16. That's Jesus' words. Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 16. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. My brother, my sister, yours and my duty is to preach this good news. You know, very often I hear from the people, but Pastor, we can't upset them. We're not upsetting anybody. We're telling the truth from this word. I didn't write this book, neither did you. But before Jesus left this planet Earth, he said to his disciple, go, preach this good news, telling them everything what I have commanded you, not what man is telling you. Those three young people in Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in Babylon, they've been told to bow down and worship the golden image. They stood up. Why? Because God said, no, the worship only belongs to me. As God called my friends, Lot of the doomed city of Sodom and Gomorrah, he's calling his people out of the churches, refusing to keep his commandments. There are many, many faithful people. When they will hear this voice, they will come out. I believe so. We're living in the time where those people will start leaving the churches and will come looking for the truth. Revelation 14:12, the Bible declares what sort of a people will be which God looks for you and me. Revelation 14:12 said, he is the patience of the saints. He are they that walk. Keep commandments. Which commandments? Man's? Commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. You know what Jesus was telling to leaders of the Israel nation? You worshiping me in vain. What? Leaders of the Israel nation, God is referring to them, you're worshiping me in vain, keeping the man's tradition, and disregarding God. Those listening for the voice of chief shepherd will come out. God will vindicate his cause when God's law is universally rejected. Satan accused God that nobody can keep the Ten Commandments. He's a liar. You know why? Because the Bible is telling me in Philippians 4:13, I can do how much? All things, not in my strength, my friends, but in the strength of Jesus Christ who helps me. My friend, don't listen to this nonsense when people will say to you, you can't keep commandments. Of course I cannot on my own strength. But when I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, when he will take full possession of my heart and the Holy Spirit, I can and I will. Because Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12 says, that God says, here are they. Who are they that keeps the God commandments and have a faith of Jesus? Not faith in Jesus, but faith of Jesus. And this is beautiful words by David, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, my friends. This is a psalm David gives us a glimpse of this pivotal moment of this world's history. Psalm 119, one of the longest psalms in the Bible. Listen what he says here. Psalm 119 and verse 126. Psalm 119 and verse 126. This says like this. It is time for you to act, O Lord, for they have regarded your law as void. How did David knew it? He was inspired by the Holy Spirit. We are living in today's days that the God's law is void. And those who are faithful to the Lord by honoring his Ten Commandments will be distinguished from those in Babylon. My friend, the Satan is fury against the Ten Commandments. He hides those people who keep the Ten Commandments. Revelation chapter 12 verse 17 is telling us, and Revelation 12, 17, you can read from this one or you can read from your own Bible. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and they went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Why he's angry? Which keep the commandments of men. No, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. What is this testimony of Jesus Christ? Revelation 19 verse 10 says, and the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. My brother, my sister, this church has been blessed by God with the spirit of prophecy. We are blessed. We got this beautiful truth, what we are doing with it. Are we sharing? Satan's anger is towards those who keep the commandments of God. The whole world is following him. Only this little remnant, like the Bible says. And he will do everything to destroy you. Babylon, as Babylon, brothers and sisters, exposed, so is the source of her power, which Satan is in himself. All who order their lives in harmony with the commandments will become focus of Satan's hatred and attack. And the good news is, brothers and sisters, the people of God will have a divine eye. We got nothing to worry. If you give your life and surrender to Jesus, we will survive the fury of the Satan and his system of Babylon. Bible is very full of promises. We're not going to read today because time is running out. And read Psalm 91, full of promises. Under almighty wings you shall find a refuge. Don't be afraid of the devil, my friend. God is much more powerful. He will deliver his people from the clutches of the Satan. He promised and he will do it. Yes. The river Euphrates, my friend, surrendered the literal kingdom of Babylon. And upon its drying, Babylon was destroyed by the nation from the east. Meets a Persian goddess through the drying out the river of Euphrates. In the same way, shortly, before the return of Jesus Christ, the symbolic waters of Babylon will be dried up. In the Revelation chapter 17, 15, we know what these rivers represent. They represent multitude, people, nations, all the languages. Mystical Babylon, my friends, will fall when its system is finally dried up. This is clearly depicted in the Revelation 16. Listen to this one, Revelation 16. We have to go very quickly. Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 12 to 15. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like a frog coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them together of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I'm coming as the thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garment. My brother, my sister, you got nothing to worry. God is with us. This Antichrist system under the command of the dragon, which we know that's Satan himself, beast and the false prophets, or more specifically, spiritualism, Catholicism, and apostate Protestantism, will merge in the final battle against God. But my brother, God will win the battle. Which side you're gonna choose, winning or lose? You know, you can summarize Revelation in two sentences. Whole Revelation in two sentences. God's win, Satan lost. Isn't that beautiful? God will win the battle on behalf of his people. He's doing for you and for me, my friend. God's people will ultimately share in the victory that God has won. The Bible speaks this very clearly. Victory is guaranteed. In Revelation 18, 20 and 21 is telling us. Revelation 18, 20 and 21. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. Then a mighty angel took up the stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, thus with violence the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. My brother, my sister, we know the end for the Babylon, and we know the end for the God's people. God will vindicate this, his God of mercy. Through this message of the second angel, my friend, God is calling his people out of every system that does not keep his commandments. He's calling his people out of the confusing worship, the babbling tongues of Babylon. God is calling his people to not create alliance with the world that is opposition to the God's commandments and his government. God is not just calling his people out. He's calling people to his fold. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 said, but ye are the chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, peculiar people, but that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. At a time when the world has settled for darkness, God is calling his people to his marvelous light. We were once in darkness, But God brought us into light. Stay in the light. We are special in the sight of God. May our Lord, who love us so much, will lead us to respond to his loving call, is my prayer. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, once again we're coming before thy throne of grace. Father, we thank you for loving us so much. We thank you for this mercy call, come out of her, my people. Father, help us that none of us who are here with the rest of our family, wherever they might be, when Jesus will come, we might hear these beautiful words. Well done, good and faithful servant, come home. Yes, we're going home. Jesus won the battle. We are on winning side. And now, Father, please dismiss us with your blessings. Watch over us, lead us, guide us, and correct us, because we ask in precious name of Jesus. Amen.